there's considerable urgency to do something to end or at least de-escalate the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The U.S. has already stationed additional forces in Eastern Europe and is leading NATO members in providing weapons to Ukraine. But as of right now, Russian airstrikes continue to batter Ukraine. We're joined now by NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Good morning, Ron.
Good to be with you, David.
So, Ron, President Biden is under enormous pressure to take effective action against Russian President Vladimir Putin. Everything from pushing international oil sanctions to declaring a no-fly zone over Ukraine are, you know, being put out there for him to choose from. Now the U.S. has taken some action, the latest coming yesterday, as President Biden announced that he'll work with Congress on legislation to revoke Russia's permanent normal trade relations. Tell us more about that. How badly is that going to hurt Russia at this point?
It's another brick in the wall that's being built between Russia and the world, David. It's part of the process of making Russia an international pariah. So this is going to change their tariff regime. It's going to make them less able to move their goods around the world. And the hope is that there are people close to Putin who still want to be part of the world or who want to make money beyond Russia's borders. Those people would need to put increased pressure on Putin to relent, to come to terms with reality in Ukraine. Now, banning these luxury items that you mentioned, that gets attention. But this week, the European Union also moved to cut back on Russian imports that affect the iron and steel industries. A little grittier, the EU is by far the biggest customer for Russia. China's second, and the EU is three times bigger.
Even so, bombs are falling right now. And the sanctions that are in place, the idea of revoking this trade status, even that feels like it would take a while to take effect. If there's something else the United States could do and would like to do, what's stopping it?
It will take a while for the economic strategy to work, but to stop the bombs and missiles in real time would require real air power, which inevitably means real aerial combat with Russia and casualties. And that means the world's two leading nuclear superpowers toe-to-toe every day with all that implies. There was talk this week of having NATO countries, such as Poland, give some of their warplanes to Ukraine with the understanding that we would then give Poland some American aircraft. But Poland made it clear they did not want that role. They already have a great deal at risk in this crisis and 1.5 million Ukrainian refugees, with more coming every day.
All right. So Congress just passed through a $14 billion aid package for Ukraine. Stripped out of that bill was $1.5 trillion in additional pandemic spending. What happened there?
Well, on the $1.5 trillion, that's the overall value of what's called an omnibus appropriation, the big thing that Congress was doing. That means it's a catch-all for anything and everything. And it got done this week, largely because the White House and the Hill leaders hooked it up with the Ukraine aid, billions of dollars to help Ukraine. And that's a powerful locomotive right now. On the COVID spending, that's something in the neighborhood of about $15 billion, they will bring that back as a freestanding issue. But in this week's action, the source of funds for the new spending got a lot of pushback from governors and others. So there are also some Republicans saying they're just done with spending big money on pandemic programs. It seems as though many of their constituents now regard that as just government overreach.
Okay, Ron, we've only got about 40 seconds left, but it seems as though much of the economic news seems pretty good. You also are seeing inflation and high gas prices hitting household budgets hard. That's got to have some ripple effects in Washington.
Indeed. Inflation continues to run hot, not quite like the 1970s, but headed in that direction. Nothing drives inflation quite like energy costs, which in turn inflate prices for food and other basics. Sooner or later, higher prices are blamed on the ruling party, especially if one party has the White House and even nominal control in Congress.
That's NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, David.